We have been in somewhat of a year-long season of Advent, a season of waiting for good news, for freedom, for healing, for peace among the people. And so as the official season of Advent arrives, we may find ourselves tired of waiting, weary from hoping for things to turn around, overwhelmed by the bad news stories that seem to outweigh the good news stories. And yet, the good news Christmas story of God's presence arriving among us is one that will show up and show up for us, no matter how tough of a year it is told in. At Church of the Three Crosses, we believe that each person's story matters and is valuable. So we offer this podcast, the Advent Story Podcast, to tell our own stories alongside of God's story. God's story of hope, peace, joy, and love is one worth telling and one that is told through our own stories. So each week, we hope that you'll join us to hear two members of our church share their questions, their convictions, and of themselves, their story. This week, we welcome Lydia and Susan as they share together about the theme of hope.
Susan, I was so glad to see we got matched together.
I was too.
How have you been? I miss seeing you.
I know. This is tough, isn't it?
I mean,
even the last time I did see you was probably Blessing of the Animals, right? And it was like,
yeah.
You know, 6 feet away.
I know.
Very closest, yeah.
I know. I was saying, I feel kind of emotional having the chance to sit and talk with you right now, actually.
Oh. Do you know where your hope finds its nourishment? Like, is there something in general? I guess we were asked, describe your source of hope. So,
I think that question can probably be answered in a couple of different ways. I mean, for me, I'm a very kind of literary person. Like, I love to read and quotes and, you know, Bible verses and little snippets of poems and just favorite books and those kinds of things. Even really good speeches sometimes.
Yeah.
Like that often will, those kinds of things will often come to mind. And, you know, sometimes I'll write a little quote on a post-it note or something like that and just, you know, or be kind of thinking, I think a lot of people do that with song lyrics.
Yes.
It's kind of like that, I think. So that's one way. I also think being out in nature is something that really centers or reconnects me to that feeling of hope. Like something's always growing. Things are always dying, but things are always growing too. Yeah. And, you know, thinking about how, you know, when forest fires or prairie fires happen, that often opens up, you know, different seeds that need that heat to open up and, you know, become new trees or plants. And it just is a reminder that something has existed long before I did and will continue to exist long after I don't. There's something very generative about being in nature. And I think that's really, really hopeful too.
I'm the same with posting little hope, looking for, finding, or just happening upon little quotes of hope that are hopeful for me. And I used to have them all over my cubicle at work. That was the most important thing for me to take down when I left work, was all those post-its to have them, you know, say sequestered where I could look at them. But I always like, there's some hymns that, of course, I think you said hymns, you know, that have some real words of hope in them. But there's always, we love musicals, and there's always, in musicals, there always seems to be that one song that's loaded with hope. And that, you know, like that kind of becomes the soundtrack of my life, you know, all those songs put together. So
Do you have a particular quote or a hymn lyric or something that's like one of your all-time favorites that you go back to?
There's just a song by John McCutcheon, the folk singer-songwriter. It's called Hope Dies Last. And I mean, I can just read you the verse if you want, the chorus if you want. Okay, it's, hope dies last. It is the flame that feeds the fire. Hope dies last. It is the dream that drives us higher. We revive and we remember, not the first time, not the last, but ever holding fast, hope dies last.
That's really beautiful.
How about you? Do you have one that comes to mind?
One that's actually a hymn that comes to mind a lot is that hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And there's that line in there that says, morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Yes.
All I have needed, your hand has provided, you know, and it's just that reminder that, like, you know, the nights can be really tough and really long, but every morning there's new things to see and new things to be grateful for. And there's a hopefulness in that too. Mm. Do you think that hope is the same as positivity or the same as always looking for the good in things? Or do you think of those as different concepts?
You know, I would say that they're different. And I've been giving a lot of thought to this idea of hope. And I think my starting point is that it's just like I was taught years ago, where the idea was presented to me that love is an action verb. Well, I think that at least one kind of hope that we employ is also an action verb. I don't think it's necessarily, what would you call it, an emotion or an approach. So, I mean, we can dig deeper into that, but I actually got to thinking that there are two types of hope as well, you know, so. But no, I don't think they're the same. I think that hope takes some action. Positivity or optimism is an expression of hope,
I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I really, really love that idea of hope being an action.
Yeah.
Because I think in those times when it's really hard to feel hopeful, you can still make choices in hope or act out of hope. Mm-hmm. And I think those actions can get you through those times when you don't feel a particular feeling of hope.
Mm-hmm.
So just because you're not feeling it doesn't mean you aren't hopeful.
Oh, that's important for me to hear. Yeah, because it does go back to the action. If you're still acting, then
mm-hmm.
yeah, there is still hope there. Yeah.
Isn't the story of Pandora's box, that old myth, right? Like Pandora opened this box and it let all these horrible, evil things out into the world, but it also let hope out. Am I remembering that right?
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's right. I hadn't thought of that. I think she looked in the box and hope was still in there to be let out. I don't know why hope couldn't get out on its own, but.
Well, maybe. There's a sermon there, I bet.
It had to be helped.
Yeah, it had action had to be taken.
Action
right?
had to be taken.
I'm curious, like, has there been a time in your life where you felt particularly hopeful about something?
I don't know how you felt after you graduated from like college, and I mean, if you already knew you were going straight on for a master's, you might have felt different than I did. But I, you know, I saw the whole world. Open in front of me, and then I returned home and everything seemed to kind of feel closing in on me. But what I did was, I after a couple of years of living at home and the world feeling a little small and me feeling unsettled and things, I realized that all of my friends were in Chicago, and so I applied. One of those friends helped me get a job, helped me, made me aware of a job that I could apply for, which I did. And I did apply for it and I did get it. And that was when the world just seemed like, you know, it was my oyster, that I was going to, you know, that I had all possibilities open to me now. And I got to say, living here 41 years, it's proved to be true. So, so anyway, I mean, that moment when I got the job and I knew I was coming up here and I knew that I was going to be with my friends, that was very, very hopeful for me at a young part of my life. Yeah.
It was your Mary Tyler Moore moment.
It was my, there you go. Don't we?
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, that's so interesting that you say that. I mean, I think, so the way that I was raised, you know, some of my story, like being raised in a very conservative, fundamentalist Christian home, like expectations that were set for me were very low. The expectation was that I would be a wife, that I would be a mother, that I would be in service to God and to a husband and to my children. And that was like the highest that I could achieve, that I could accomplish. And so those were my parents' hopes for me, right? And so like when I graduated college, I didn't really feel hopeful. I think I felt more fear than anything, and trying to live into what their hopes were for my life and not really feeling like that was my path. And then like really trying to figure out like, what do I do next? What is it that I want to do? What am I passionate about? Like, you know, and so actually like coming here to Chicago, I got a job, and, you know, Dan obviously moved with me, and, I was, you know, working in this sort of mid-level job. And then they offered me a promotion to a director position, to a leadership position. And that was like the first time in my life that I thought of myself as like a leader or somebody who could do something more than like mid-level tasks. Yeah. And it's like, you know, what you were saying before, people telling you that you were positive and it's not how you thought about yourself. Like, I never thought of myself as a leader or something like that. And, you know, I was working for an amazing organization that was full of really strong women who could see that and nurture that along in somebody else. And it's like, sometimes people have to hold that hope or that belief for you.
Yes.
And then you sort of have your eyes open to that. And I mean, so that was my Mary Tyler Moore moment, right? Like, oh, wow, like I can do this. And I think to that point in my life, there were, you know, very few people who had different kinds of hopes for me than what my parents had, you know? And so just seeing those other paths, seeing more, you know, different ways of being, there's hope in that too.
Now I don't know that I had thought about, no, I guess I had, but the source of hope being someone who is a mentor or someone who can name something for you,
mm-hmm.
Can with sometimes just one comment can provide all sorts of new hope for you, show you a new direction. That's wonderful.
Are there any storms in your life you're comfortable sharing about? That,
you know, this church was so gracious and supportive in their prayers and in their asking how we're doing. With when my mom broke both of her arms last October,
yeah,
on her 91st birthday,
I remember.
I at that point I saw my life flashed before me, because mm-hmm. I knew that I was going to have to pivot and become very, very focused on her. And yet her, just who she is, you know, that determination that this was, you know, kind of like the unsinkable Molly Brown, this was not mm-hmm. going to keep her down, kind of helped me keep going. You know, and it was pain and it was endurance on her part, and for the family it was getting her moved into assisted living, and I mean, there was just a lot of activity and and uncertainty and still needing to be strong for her, but she was just so, she was, I think she was actually looking out for us, you know, like how do I, I'm in this position, I'm going to need a lot more help. How do I not make it difficult for my kids? And that was just this, this piece of hope that I have been slow to recognize. But on the other side of it, you know, we're, she's healed, she's content, you know, and that's separate from COVID. That's a whole different thing.
That's a whole different thing. But it's like she had a hope for what she could do. And that kind of buoyed you along, it sounds like.
Yeah. So it is talking about, I think, someone else's hope. But that, and you did buoy us. Yes. It kept us motivated. You know, and in return, we of course encouraged her. Keep at it, Mom. You can do this. We've seen you do it before, type thing. So, I don't know. You know, it was kind of a cyclical thing, and that's interesting to think about too. That we can, from two different points on the same project, we can we can nurture each other with hope.
Yeah, the collective hope, part of God's vision for the world, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. And how those hopes can actually work together. So
You see someone else being hopeful and you think about it and maybe you can take a little piece of that hope for yourself too. I think something that has been helpful for me going through, you know, some of the storms is hearing from other people who have gone through something kind of similar and, you know, maybe what they learned or, you know, how they got through it and how they came out the other side and, you know, what compensation they were able to find in the disappointment and those kinds of things. And, so sometimes that's, you know, helpful to listen to different podcasts or read different books or histories and biographies and just like, okay, how did they do it? How did they do this? What lessons are there to be learned?
I mean, if you can find the voices of experience, somehow that, like, you know, they're just almost walking with you in it, in whether it's just because of their words or because they're actually right there with you.
Definitely. I think that's another really hopeful Bible verse that often comes to mind. It's from Hebrews somewhere. I don't remember the exact reference, but it's about that cloud of witnesses, right? Since we have this cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and every sin that besets us and let's run with patience the race that's set before us. I think that's such a hopeful verse. And I love that it talks about that collective, that community, that we haven't been the first to walk these paths alone and we won't be the last to walk these paths. And we do it together and we do it with patience and we do it with action. That's the road we have to walk.
And you've kind of pivoted me to, I've been thinking very individual, you know, my individual story individually, maybe for the country, but you brought up the word community and then there's our church, you know, who, you come in with something and you get to fellowship and there are folks who gather around you and talk to you about it and maybe have some experiences to share and who keep checking in on you and, you know, just support you, to keep you hopeful. And that's been just such a gift for the many years I've been.
Definitely. They can hold hope for us when we can't. We can hold hope for others when they can't.
Yes.
You know, we can hold a little bit of pain for each other. And create that collect. I think one of the most beautiful things that happens sort of during joys and concerns is when someone has something really like joyful and positive to share, and we hold that, and then in the same breath there's something really painful to share, and we can hold that too. And I just, that's one of my absolute favorite things about our church and our community.
Yeah.
Making that space for each other.
So what is your dream about hope? Is it for a specific person, a specific community of people, for yourself? What would that dream look like if it came true?
Mm-hmm. I have a very specific dream right now, which is kind of work related. Which is there's no global count of people who are experiencing homelessness. So it's not a problem that is named. It's not a problem that is measured. It's not a problem that is addressed meaningfully around the world. And just this week, which is very, very hopeful, we heard from United Nations Habitat that they're going to put together an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding, with my organization to start planning for how we would do a global count on homelessness. And it's so hopeful, Susan, because those are the first building blocks in how we actually begin to make meaningful progress on this issue. Is like, what is the problem? What's the scope of the problem?
Yeah.
You know, and this will take us years to do. This is a multi-year project that will happen. Yeah. But at the end of it, we'll be able to say, we see you. Mm-hmm. You know, we see this experience that you're having, and we're determined to change this. And now we know very specifically what we're dealing with.
Man.
So, well, I'm feeling hopeful. Going to be a lot of work. It's going to be a lot of work. What did I get myself into? But it's so hopeful. It's such a hopeful feeling. And I think particularly when, you know, our country hasn't been a leader on this issue, certainly in the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's so unnecessary for a country as developed as ours to have this particular issue. And so to see the hope coming from other corners of the world, other countries saying, we believe this can be done better, we believe this can be resolved, that has been something very hopeful for me over the last 4 years, is to see leadership in other areas coming forward, and taking that lead.
Good.
All right. What's your vision? What's your hope?
Well, I tried to break it down into three different, to about myself.
Yeah. I like that.
And then, you know, just kind of building a little wider out. But as a retired, okay, my hope is, and this is going to take work, believe me. My hope is that as a retiree, I become, I wrote it down.
I like
an efficient, productive steward of my time, talent, and treasure. Mm. You know, so that I don't focus just on myself, but that I look outward or, so there's that. Mm-hmm. And for the next generation, that they may have a world that is better than mine, more just, less poverty, and noble work and compensation for all. And then finally, and this is probably where I hope I invest some of that time, talent, and energy and treasure, is for a healthy, restored planet where need and greed are eradicated. And quite personally, I don't understand what fuels greed, but we know that it creates need on the other side. Mm-hmm. So those are the things that I hope for. I can see maybe where my work is to be done in a couple of those, but so.
Those are really beautiful, Susan. And then, you know, it's not so different from my very specific hope either, right? Like, I do think about homelessness as connected to unfettered capitalism, right? Housing is considered a commodity, not a right. And governments, by and large, don't step in to protect that right for people who can't participate in the free market. And so thinking about need and greed and, you know, it doesn't need to exist if if governments are intervening in the right ways and taking care of those who are most in need. So, I mean, it's all connected to each other, isn't it?
It is all connected, yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. If you liked what you heard today on the podcast, we invite you to share it with others through social media. If you'd like to find out more about Church of the Three Crosses, we invite you to check out our website, churchofthethreecrosses.org, or go to our Facebook page where we are gathering each and every week for worship on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. All are welcome. Friends, have a blessed first week of Advent.